Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Nurse, beautiful move to the net. Great shot, score! And Edmonton completes a dramatic comeback. Cassie left it for McDavid. Drive the net. What a shot! Top right corner, unbelievable. Two Flyers draped all over him.
Edmonton's home for breaking news on your favorite teams. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on the voice of your Edmonton Oilers and Eskimos. 630 CHED.
The first round ends tonight. 7:42 left in the first period. The Capitals lead the Hurricanes 2-0. Tomorrow, round two begins with the Blue Jackets and the Bruins, and the Stars will take on the Blues. St. Louis defenseman Colton Parayko will join us later tonight on Inside Sports. But of course, much of the hockey world still talking about those two Game 7s from last night and an epic one to remember in San Jose.
LeBanc will field it on the right point and stop it. He moves into the circle. LeBanc tees up, shoots, score! Kevin LeBanc has just put the Sharks in front in Game 7 with 6:39 to play.
Lifted out to the line. Carlson keeps, feeds right corner and Stastny. 50 seconds to go. Right corner, it's Stahl. Behind for Smith. Shot, score! Knights tie it! 47 seconds to go!
Erik Karlsson to Thornton across the line. Thornton being checked by Theodore. Puck came out, but Erik Karlsson intercepts. Moves across the line, lead Barkley Goodrow. Gets around the defense, shoots, he scores! Barkley Goodrow is the hero for the Sharks in overtime in Game 7. The Sharks were down by 3 goals. They came back, they took the lead, and then after Vegas tied it, Barkley Goodrow is the big man on campus. Sharks win 5-4, and they win the series in 7.
April 23rd, 2019, that's the day the Vegas Golden Knights officially joined the NHL. And I know many of you are saying, Reed, you've lost your mind yet again. They've played two full seasons in the league. That was the real initiation last night. Because now the Vegas Golden Knights and their fans have that moment, that call, that they're going to be griping about for the next 30, 40, 50 years. Just some examples. The Flyers have, hey, the Islanders were offside on the overtime goal in the 1980 Stanley Cup Final in Game 6. The Toronto Maple Leafs have 1993. Hey, Gretzky, high stuck, Gilmore, that should have been a major, no call. The Oilers have 2 years ago, hey, Kessler's pulling Talbot's pads apart and the puck goes in to tie the game in Game 5. I know I'm going to be hearing about that from Oilers fans forever. That's the moment. That's when you're initiated, when you have that call that didn't go your way, and it led to heartbreak. And a guy who's been talking about that for the last 21 hours from the Vegas Hockey Hotline in Las Vegas, my friend Brian Blessing. Hi, Brian.
Reed, how could you leave the biggest one of all out?
Which one
no
did I?
Goal.
The Buffalo one. Well, I didn't want to make it too awkward for you.
Well, no goal. I mean, the league handed out a Stanley Cup that, by the letter of the law, the goal did not count. And the funny thing is, I walk around here. I've been here 15 years. Whenever I say no goal, everybody here say, "Let it go. Turn the page." I sent the same tweet out today. Welcome to the NHL. No major. You got no goal, you got no major.
Okay, let's go there then. Were you doing radio in Buffalo in 99? What were you doing?
I was doing the Sabres television broadcast.
Okay.
So we were on the Empire Sports Network, So the game was nationally televised. The second it ended, Mike Robitaille and I come on the air. So we come on the air, and literally, I mean, we came on the air, had never seen the replay. As we came on the air, we see the replay. We're like, that's not a goal. All of a sudden, we cut back down to the arena, and Lindy Ruff comes running back out of the locker room, and they're going nuts. And the problem was they let 300 media members through the Zamboni door on the ice and never reviewed it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That's one that sticks for Buffalo fans, and we still hear about, I guess, almost 20 years later. It's about 6 weeks short of 20 years. Brian, I'm going to ask you this. You have the Vegas Hockey Hotline in Las Vegas every afternoon. I didn't get to stream anything today because I was getting stuff ready here. Did you have any open line time? And if so, what were you hearing from Golden Knights fans?
You know what, Reed? I mean, it's right out of the gate. First things first, Vegas had a 3-1 lead in the series. Vegas, yes, horrible call, but that doesn't mean that your penalty kill, which, by the way, Eakin's a major component of that, and Belmar is out of the game, allow four goals on a major. Vegas is certainly complicit in this, and you give the Sharks full marks. I mean, they got an opportunity, and they kicked the door down. People are upset and livid and disappointed and all the emotions that we've been in this sport our whole lives. And I love the fact that you're saying kind of what I've been saying. You know, last night it was welcome to the torture, angst, love, exhilaration, joy. It was before the game of what a game seven's all about. And then when you get the rug pulled out from underneath you and something happens to you that you feel egregious, you are absolutely a member of the National Hockey League now. You're spot on.
Well, it's okay. So is this, I mean, this, I know they lost the Stanley Cup final, but is there can't be a moment in the brief Golden Knights history that is going to resonate like this going forward. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Well, you don't have to ask me. George Lott in the post-game press conference says, we lost in the final last year. This hurts way worse. That's the head coach.
Yeah. Brian Blessing joining us from the Vegas Hockey Hotline. Well, but you touched on some of the other elements, and I guess we should also look at Game 6 if we're going to be – we're going to talk a lot about the call. Kelly and Rudy and I are going to get into it a little bit too. I got some ideas on video review myself. But I guess we have to remember too, Vegas had a power play on home ice in overtime of Game 6.
They threw the sink at him, and Martin Jones, won that game. And that's great. I mean, I've seen, that happen 1,000 times. The Sharks survived and they survived in advance. So Vegas had their opportunities and they did not kick the door down. But to your point, I think the end result of this, Reed, clearly, this is not rocket science. And there's no way that the NHL can sweep this under the rug. If the NFL is now going to adopt reviewing pass interference calls, okay, great, maybe long overdue. And the NBA, if someone throws an elbow and they want to say, was it a flagrant one or a flagrant two, and they go to the monitor, this is an aspect of the game. I think it's pretty simplistic. You just simply say, if you're going to call a major, and on the ice you're saying it's a major, he's got five in a game, let's go to the monitor and confirm it. Because the penalty, has devastating consequences potentially, and I don't think it's that big a deal. Go to the monitor and confirm it. If they go to the monitor last night, they'd be hard pressed to say that was a 2-minute penalty. I mean, you can give them 2 minutes for cross checking. It's an unfortunate incident where he just kind of shoved them from the front, and he's off balance. It was awful the way he hit his head on the ice. But they went to the bench and told Gallant, yeah, he sticked him in the face. Well, no, he didn't. Go look at the monitor. Just take a minute. Get it right, especially in the playoffs.
Just as an aside here, Brian, there's a professional football league in North America that's been reviewing pass interference for a few years, right?
Well, there you go. the only problem is you punt on third down.
Yeah, well, we like kick returns. We don't have the fair catch either. You got to run it back.
Reed, we put a man on the moon, man. Let's get this stuff right.
That's a good point. Okay, I got to ask you this. I know we had you on a few weeks ago, and I brought up his name. What do you think is going to happen here with Kelly McCrimmon? Obviously, his name has been circling around the Oilers. I think he's overseas. Hasn't he been overseas?
Well, basically, they were not going to let Kelly talk to anybody until this sorted out. Darren Dreger today said they're going to give Vegas a little time to get over this and sort out their organizational map here. Locker room clean-out day is tomorrow. But, he'd be a great get for Edmonton. He's a wonderful guy. But he's got his pulse on junior hockey. He was instrumental in developing what's going on here at the expansion draft. And honestly, Reed, I would say this to you. We'll see what happens. He couldn't be in a better spot. I'm not saying it turns into a full-out bidding war. But clearly, you got to believe Seattle's going to be ringing his phone, too. So McCrimmon's sitting in the catbird seat.
Okay, besides the future of Kelly McCrimmon and whether or not he stays with the Golden Knights, give me one or two other offseason storylines for Vegas, whether it's player moves, needs, free agents they want to retain. What are you looking at there?
Oh, boy. The funny thing is Jonathan Marchessault, with some fiery comments but some really thoughtful comments last night, said, listen, this changed us. It changed our future, because at the end of every season, this group won't be the same group. You got Gusev, the stud from the KHL that's sitting there right now. I would envision, and Eric Halla, if he comes back healthy from the knee injury, all of a sudden you're looking at a third line of Eric Halla, Nikita Gusev, and Alex Tuck, and then you take Cody Eakin, who had a great season, and you throw him down on the fourth line between Reeves and Carrier. You got Cody Glass down in Chicago. The future is very, very bright. I would think there'll be conceivably, I could see some, maybe a move or two on defense. Might be Derek England's last year. I'm speculating. I think a guy like Colin Miller would term a right-hand big shot defenseman, I think, could be very attractive to a lot of teams and could reap something coming back. Those are just off the top of my head.
Okay, interesting stuff. Well, Brian, I know obviously we're going to stay in touch, but you've been great throughout the season. The Golden Knights remain an incredible story, everything that's happened with that team over the last couple of years. So much to talk about. Thanks for making time for us on Inside Sports tonight. We'll keep in touch.
Reed, it's always a pleasure, pal. Have a good day.
That is Brian Blessing checking in from the Vegas Hockey Hotline, dealing with, no doubt, some irate Golden Knight fans today after that penalty call last night on Cody Eakin. And of course, we talked about Jonathan Marchessault, some of his anger after the game.
Yeah, they guess. So exactly, why don't you have a video replay? Like, just help them. It's a fast game for everybody out there. It's a fast game. It's embarrassing.
Do you feel like it was stolen from you, John?
If it was stolen? Yeah. It was 3-0. What, 10, 12 minutes left? They scored 4 goals on the power play. They came clutch. I mean, they feed off a bad call and they came back in 4-3 and get the big goal in overtime. I give them credit at some point. They're a great hockey team. But it's embarrassing.
Well, that's one we're going to be talking about for a while. Will it change the way the NHL operates? Will it change what they do for video review?
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I have an idea what they should do. You'll hear that when we get back. Inside Sports on 630 Chet.
This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader, 630 Chet.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. My name is Reed Wilkins. It's Inside Sports on Oilers and Eskimos Radio, 630 Ched. Just the one NHL game tonight. Washington leading Carolina 2-0 game 7 late in the first period. The Oil Kings, how about it? Game 4 tonight against the Prince Albert Raiders. That one will start at 7 o'clock at Rogers Place. It has been an incredible ride for the Oil Kings this season, and they are keeping it going with a 5-1 win last night to go up 2-1 in the best of 7. And the Oilers farm team, the Bakersfield Condors, lead their best of 5 over Colorado 2-1. They will not play again until Saturday, but last night they won Game 3 5-2. Evan Bouchard joining the Condors after his OHL season ended in London. He gets a goal and 2 assists to help the Condors to victory. The St. Albert Slash at the Esso Cup in Sudbury. That's the female midget AAA National Championship Tournament. They won today 4-0 over Halifax. They are 2-1-1 with 1 game remaining in the round robin. They have clinched a spot in the semifinals. They will play the Stony Creek Sabres at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. You can text 630-630. The phone number is 780-496-0063. Kellen Kennedy is our studio operator this evening. Kellen, great to see you again.
Good to see you, Reid. How are you doing?
Good. We were talking about video review last night a little bit. I mean, look, I've made it known for everyone ever since they brought it in, and I thought I hate the offside challenge. I know some people like it or say you got to get the call right. That's fine. I just don't like it to review calls for a a couple centimeters offside or a foot barely lifted off the ice. I think video review should be there to correct blatantly missed calls, which is why I'm fine with it for goal line technology. If you can tell whether or not the puck was in to call goal, no goal, you got to use it. And there's no play more important in a game than a goal. But if you're going to introduce it, then why not do more to help the guys who are actually calling the game? The linesmen and the referees. And I say to the NHL, if you want to challenge for goalie interference and you want to challenge for offsides, and you're taking that out of the command centers, out of the war room's hands, because if it's goalie interference or it's offside, the coaches have to challenge unless it's in the final minute of the third period or overtime. Other than that, the coach has to challenge, and the coach has to decide if the challenge is worth the risk. If you're wrong on goalie interference, you lose your timeout. If you're wrong on an offside challenge, you actually get a penalty for delay of game. And we saw that in a couple of Oilers games this season. So they want you to challenge, but they kind of want you to be sure about it. But they're putting that in the coach's laps. For goals, that's obviously an official decision, or the war room in Toronto can say, we got to look at this, we might have a goal. Everything else, you're not giving the officials any help. And I would say to the NHL, if you're fine with coaches' challenges and you want to split hairs on offsides, then why don't we have an officials' challenge? And like coaches, there would be limitations. The referees and linesmen collectively could challenge one call per game or review it, where they would say, we're not sure. Or we've huddled together and we don't have a consensus. One guy says he saw this. Another guy says he saw this. We're going to look at it. So they can't do it all the time. They can't use it as a crutch to second-guess every call and constantly scurry over to the penalty box and look at the monitors and figure it out. Like the coaches, there would be limitations. So the referees and the linesmen collectively would get one video review per game. They'd have to declare that they themselves are using it, and they would go over and look at whatever it is they wanted to look at. And certainly last night, they would have said, we want to use our officials' challenge. Because they see a player lying on the ice with blood leaking through his helmet. And that was a gruesome scene, no doubt about it, with Pavelski down on the ice. That's scary to see. Nobody likes seeing that. But an injury does not automatically equal a penalty. So they know something happened that caused this guy to be hurt quite badly. And at full speed and at game speed, nobody's calling a penalty. Nobody had their arm up. Nothing's being called. And then they see the injury and they say, uh-oh, head injury. We better give a penalty and we better give a major. And as Brian Blessing said, the bench is told there's a cross-check to the face. Clearly there's no cross-check to the face. It was a horrible accidental play. In my mind, it's not even a minor. maybe you could argue a minor for cross-checking or interference. Maybe. Certainly not a major penalty. So if the referees go and look at that, that call is going to be right. And yes, Vegas should do a better job killing penalties and all that kind of stuff. But they were in that situation because of a badly, badly blown call. So if you want to open the video review box, open it for the guys making the calls. Let the officials say, we need to look at this. This is a pivotal moment. We need to make sure we get this right. You're allowing the coaches to do it. Why don't you let the guys with the whistles actually do it? More on this and Kelly Rudy when we get back after the 6:30 news. Inside Sports on Chet.
Your home for breaking news and expert opinion. Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 6:30 Chet.
All right, good to have you tuning in tonight. Oil Kings, 7 o'clock, Rogers Place, Prince Albert Raiders. Oil Kings up 2-1 in that best-of-seven series. It is 2-0 for the Capitals leading the Hurricanes after one in Game 7. Burakovsky scored at 2:13. Wilson scored at 6:23. Great setup by Ovechkin. Tomorrow, Blue Jackets and Bruins and the Stars and the Blues. St. Louis defenseman Colton Parayko will join us in about a half hour. That'll be pretty cool. Kelly Rudy coming up in a few minutes. You can text 630-630. Our phone number is 780-496-0063. Talking a lot about the call in the Vegas-San Jose game last night and possible changes or tweaks to video review. This texter says, did they not review the playoff goal against the Oilers where Kessler is clearly holding Talbot's leg and the refs still blew that call? Yes, they did, and it was blown, and I don't think there will ever be a perfect system that gets it right 100% of the time. We keep searching for that. We will keep searching for it, but there are perhaps ways to make it better or to limit the amount of calls that are missed. But there will never be a perfect system. I've been watching sports that I can remember for about 40 years, and I can remember complaints about officials and imperfections, and it's not going to go away. But I think there are things we can do to improve the game, and we should talk about those things. Brother Rob texting in, he says, hey guys, I would be okay if the refs could review only when calling a major penalty. It's not a bad idea. And Richard says, keep the coaches challenge and open up video review to include major penalties. Keep the review time down to 1 minute. We do want to get the calls right, but not take 30 minutes and look at 25 different camera angles to do it. And the coach can choose one play per game to challenge. I agree with you, Reed. No marginal offside reviews. That's what I think they should do. That is Richard texting 630-630. Yeah, I'd be good with some of that, or watch it at full speed. I guess the offside, you can't watch at full speed, but you know, if they want to watch it again, watch it full speed or limit the time. If you can't tell within a minute, 90 seconds, then are you going to keep searching for evidence to change the call? I would be fine with stuff like that. With all the technology that we have and cameras everywhere, it's hard for, I think it would be, even though I'm against a lot of the video review, I realize it would be hard for a league to say, oh no, we're going to pretend it's the 1930s and we can't look at everything. I think you have to get with the times and use what you can, and I don't think we're all ever going to agree as observers and fans of sport how to best use it. But it seems to me that when it comes to the NHL, a lot of you think that there are things that need to be changed. I will say this for what I was saying about giving the referees one challenge per game. And somebody already wrote in, and I knew that somebody would, saying, well, what if the refs had already used their challenge and then there was something else they wanted to look at? I would say, well, that's life, man. I mean, that to me, that's part of the spectacle of sports is the controversy. So if all this went away, wouldn't it be a little less interesting to talk about? Even though it may be frustrating, painful to fans of losing teams who are affected by the bad calls. So I think that would just be another thing to talk about in the sport. Did the refs use their challenge? Did they use it at the right time? Should have they waited? It adds a little more level of intrigue to the game. And I realize I'm putting something totally artificial on the game. But, I mean, that's sport. And you try it, and if it doesn't work, you get rid of it after a year or mid-season. I mean, the CFL changed challenge stuff mid-season. I mean, I'm sure some people were horrified 35 years ago when the NBA brought in the three-point line. Can you imagine basketball without a three-point line now? So I'm in favor of trying things. I try the referee challenge. Give them a year. Give them a year to, or half a season. Say you're going to do it in October or November. And see how it goes. And then if it's ruining things, you can get rid of it. But here's ways it could be used. Plays like last night to confirm or not confirm major penalties. What about the puck over the glass? How many times do you see? I mean, I've probably seen it two or three times in the first round. The puck gets flipped over the glass. One ref is pointing that went straight out, and another official is saying, no, there's a tip. And then they either call or don't call a penalty based on that. There is something else that could be reviewed quickly by officials. Should there be a two-minute penalty in overtime, in the third period? That could be huge, trying to decide. What about a high stick? Now, this happened in the regular season a couple of years ago at Rogers Place. McDavid was high-sticked. Columbus got a four-minute penalty because he was cut. The replay clearly showed it was Lucic's stick that came up and hit McDavid. What if you want to clarify that? Okay, Columbus wouldn't have been short for 4 minutes. So there are very practical and definite ways this can be applied to help the game. Use it once per game so it doesn't slow it down, and then maybe we have fewer controversies along the way. Well, maybe. Maybe not. We have Rick on line one. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Reed. I'm a traditionalist, so I dislike the video review, and I have an idea. Why don't we put three more refs on the ice? I have another idea. Why don't we just automate the game totally? I mean, don't they have those video games where kids sit on the couch and do nothing? And listen, it's gone too far. And I'll tell you, the game itself deserves a better fate. And last night, in particular, that player, regardless whether he hit his face or not, yet the player had a face shield on, he caused that player to have a major injury. No matter how you look at it, he pushed that player. Yes, the player fell over another player with a face shield on, ended up bleeding out of his ear. It caused a major issue. So the referee saw it differently than your video cam that you've had to be able to replay 10 times. And my argument is this. That referee's entitled to his viewpoint. And if I was a referee, I mean, their union should be all over. Let's get rid of this whole video replay thing. And there's enough controversy in the game without us having to promote, geez, that ref was wrong. Everybody's blaming reffing. And by the way, I don't care for the way the game's being reffed right now because, you can watch one game and the game's being played this way, change the channel, and you're seeing the game being played another way. I've said enough. I'll sit back and listen. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you calling. 780-496-0063. We also have Terry on the line. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, that guy just stole my thunder. It's exactly the same thing. If the guy doesn't make the cross check, there's no issue.
So you can
review it till forever, but what are you going to review on that call?
Do you actually,
is it a 2 minute penalty or is it a game misconduct? The guy gets injured.
Do you actually think that's a cross checking penalty? That shove happens
absolutely.
On every face off. That shove
absolutely.
Happens on every face off.
I don't buy it.
Well, then that was the first hockey game you ever watched, because that happens on every face-off.
I'm tired of that kind of hockey. It's the Kiprios guy that says on the, that's completely normal. Blah, blah. Well, that's because that's the kind of hockey he played. He wasn't a gifted hockey player, so his way of playing hockey was the low end of the spectrum. That's not what most fans want to see. Yeah, I don't mind a hit, but that's not hockey. It's not hockey.
Guys
and
jostling
guys
for position off a face-off happens
what
every
face-off.
What if the
guy died? It didn't deserve a penalty. It absolutely deserved a penalty, and because the guy gets injured, the referee decides to give him what he can and does. And I have no heart. I don't care. I like hockey as hockey. And I don't really, I love the Oilers, but I cheer for all of the hockey teams. I just want to see good hockey. I don't want to see that crap on the ice because it isn't hockey.
Terry, I'm stunned. Like, I am stunned. That happens on every face-off in one of the
zones. If it did, they'd all be laying on the ice after every faceoff. He clearly lost the faceoff and was pissed because he lost the faceoff. So his retaliation is a cross check to the chest. It ended up crappy, but too bad. Don't do it. You can't whine after it happens. You say, well, I didn't mean to. Too bad. It's done.
Okay, well, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm stunned. Like,
I talk to buddies that feel
stunned, exactly
the same as I do. Why do you think Gretzky never says anything? I couldn't play in the game now because the game's different. Because of all of the crap that goes on. He gets held way more than he would have back then, right?
Okay.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a Wayne Gretzky. He wouldn't have the points he has because the game is different. But he also, it's different in not good ways either.
All right, thanks, Terry.
Yeah, bye.
All right, we have Chris on line one. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
You know what, honestly, my problem with it, and Rick and Terry, I don't know if the elevator goes to the top of these guys. There was no penalty on the call. There was no penalty being called until after the play had stopped already.
Correct.
And that's the egregious error by the referees. So Rick and Terry, go and watch the replay. There is no penalty. They were not calling a cross-check. They were not calling anything until after there was a stoppage because of the injury. Then they decided to make a call. And that's the egregious part of this whole calamity, I guess you'd say.
Well, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, players are going to get injured, and there are going to be accidents on the ice. And I just don't think that was a penalty. And if it was, it was 2 minutes maximum. And that kind of shove, I respect Terry calling in, but the way Terry would want the game officiated, there would be 30 slashing penalties every 2 minutes.
Well, and Reed, it would be a different argument if there was they had their hands up and they moved it to a 5-minute major, but there was no penalty on the play at all.
Correct.
And it's just, I don't know how the refing association and how the refs can move from not being any call on the ice to going all the way to a 5-minute major. Even the explanation that they gave to the bench about the cross check to the face. Well, if they really believe there's a cross check to the face, that's an easy 2-minute call. So it just doesn't add up.
So do you think they should review stuff like that?
Yeah, I have to say, though, your one-time a game I don't really care for, but based on the 5-minute major, because as you can see, they could get 4 goals in a 5-minute major, even if they would have done the double minor. At least there had only been 2 goals scored. So, yeah, I think they should be able to review that when there is possible consequences to a major penalty like that.
All right. See you, Chris. Thank you.
That's
Chris, 780-496-0063. Rob on line 3. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing quite well.
Cool. You know what? My comments this evening are going to fall under the, you know, everyone has an opinion, but opinions are like butts. They usually stink. So the key thing here, you know, you look at two key playoff-type games. You know, we saw the one last night. Everyone's going to have their opinion on it. But, you know, it's a critical moment in sport, right? It's the first round of the playoffs. That team's going forward. You think of what happened in the NFL this year. Similar thing happened with the New Orleans Saints. Pass interference, no call, very clear.
Yep.
Right? But, you know, just a critical play that was missed by the refs cost a team potentially the series, right? In that case, the Super Bowl. You know, would Vegas gone on and won the Stanley Cup? Who knows, right? Too many good teams out there. But at the end of the day, you think of the, horrendous hit that Pavelski got. I would never wish that on any player out there. But you do not want hockey to become soccer, where someone taps you with your stick and you dive. It's hockey's rough. We get it. It's got to be the right calls, but you got to get a tool out there to protect all players, the ones getting hurt, but also the ones that are playing for the love of the game. Just my 2 cents.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, got a text here from somebody who says he's a linesman in the Alberta Junior Hockey League who says, I 100% agree with Terry. That does not happen every faceoff. No one stands up and cross-checks the guy. A penalty doesn't have to be called right away. Linesmen are allowed to report penalties they believe are, and then the referee can call it next stoppage. You don't need an initial call. They can call double minors after double minors and majors after a whistle. Well, yes, which they can. I just don't know if anybody really saw that. Golf Bum says, hey, Reed, that was a cross check to his chest, no different than the force of a cross check from behind or a lame hooking call if a stick touches a player's glove or a slash knocking a stick out of a player's hands. All penalties, whether they are weak or not, the cross check caused injury, as weak of a cross check as it was. No need for replay to do what? Measure the force? That is from Golf Bum. Another texter says Pavelski just fell wrong, not anyone's fault. Well, that's the school I'm in. I mean, he fell awkwardly. I mean, sure, there was a shove there, but I would argue there's probably hundreds of shoves like that in a game. More phone calls when we get back at 6:49.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers. You're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Oilers Radio 630 CHED.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Oil Kings getting set to go at Rogers Place. They lead the Prince Albert Raiders 2-1 in their best of seven series after a 5-1 victory last night. Game 7 tonight, 8 minutes into the second period, 2-0. Capitals leading the Hurricanes. The home team has won every game in that series so far. All right, we have Mike calling in. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Reed, how you doing?
Quite well.
Yeah, well, I wanted to comment about you saying about maybe going to see reviews after the play, try that out.
Yep.
Why doesn't, instead of doing that, why don't we give some of the linesmen authorities kind of to be to other referees on the ice? I know they're linesmen, but I mean, give them the power to call penalties. I know they're allowed to call minor penalties, but, I mean, treat them like any other referee.
Yeah,
they're
well,
on the ice anyway.
Yeah, they're allowed to help, right, with the majors and the double minors. They can't obviously call 2 minutes. Yeah, I suppose they want to divide the responsibilities. So, you know, there's two guys doing this and two guys doing the lines.
Yeah, but my thing is, because like, I just know what I don't want to see is have the game even slow down even that much more. You know what I mean? By going to reviews and stuff like that. That's just my opinion, I guess, on that front. I mean, if that's what I would do. But, you know, for regarding that, also for that Pavelski there, that situation, it's unfortunate. I mean, I kind of see it is actually disturbing, to be honest here. Just blood from the ice in his head, the way he hit his head. I agree that it does happen. I mean, those battles happen on the face-off all the time. So I don't know what Terry, I think it was Terry that was saying that. He's never seen that. I see it all the time. I agree with you there. I have to agree with you there. I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened. They don't see it too often happening what happened to Pavelski there. But, I mean, the jockeying on the face-off dot, I mean, if it's not high-sticking in the face and stuff like that, I mean, it happens all the time. But that's just my opinion. So
thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks, Reed.
That's Mike, 780-496-0063. We also have John on line 3. John, go ahead.
Hello, Reed. Just wanted to give you just my thoughts on the incident last night. I think that if, you know, I don't think it's a penalty, but, you know, it happened and it is what it is. But you can't forget to kill a penalty up 3-0 in a game 7.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, once Vegas is on that situation, you got to kill it off. You can't whine about it or not do your job. I think the argument would be, though, they're not in that situation without the call, right? So, you know, yeah. But, you know, fair enough. The players have to execute even if there's a bad call. Okay, thanks, John. We also have Darcy on the line. Go ahead, Darcy.
Hey, Reed.
Hello.
So, it seems like annually it's a continuous shoot-yourself-in-the-foot problem with the NHL.
Yep.
They can't get this right. And, you know, the NFL's not perfect, but I mean, some of its plays they're so overanalyzed, like what's a catch. No one knows what a catch is anymore, it seems like, never mind pass interference. But in the NHL, it's like they continuously say, okay, this is the rule, but then the next game or two games or a month later, what was the rule has now been changed to a whole different concept of what the rule was. And They need to get their act together. Like, put a referee up in the box, upstairs, where Maybe he's the one that's going to overlook these replays. Maybe he's the one that's going to make the call on a five-minute major. Maybe he's the one that determines whether it's a good goal or not. Because obviously the guys on the ice, they can't seem to do their job properly. And they continuously get things wrong, or they continuously miss stuff. Or in this fact, I mean, for Vegas, I mean, that sucks, man. To have the referee come and say, oh, this is what happened, and it's like, no, that's not what happened at all. You're way off. You know, it's absolutely embarrassing to watch it.
Darcy, was there an era of the National, I don't know how old you are, but was there an era of the National Hockey League where you thought the officiating was better or good?
So I'm 38. The 80s, I don't really remember very much. I remember a little bit about it. But I mean, I started watching hockey probably when I was around 11, like all the time. So I remember the early 90s going into the 2000s. And, you know, referees are funny because one referee might see things differently than another referee. So I think back in the day, the players kind of knew if Mick Magoo was reffing, this is kind of what he would call. If it's Carey Fraser, this is what he would call. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of had an idea. But nowadays, I think that's got to be out the window. Like, we shouldn't have this problem in the game where the referees, because instant replay is supposed to take that away, right? If we're going to go back to just human factor and allow the mistake to occur, then remove instant replay altogether and say we're not doing it. It's not going to be the way we're going to referee our game, and we're going to live with the consequences.
Darcy, good thoughts. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hey, Reed.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing. Edmonton, get out and support the Oil Kings. I was at the game last night. Our team is phenomenal. Like, they are very good.
Yeah.
They dominated the Raiders for the first 40 minutes. Then St. Albert kind of pressed on, but, man, our boys never backed down. So, you know, go out and support this team. I know it sucks that the Oilers aren't in it. I get it. I'm just as big of an Oilers fan as anyone else. But, man, the Oil Kings are phenomenal. And we should be out there selling out that building night in, night out for them.
Good stuff, Darcy. Okay, Sebastian Aho has scored for Carolina. It's 2-1 Washington. Bruce and Craig will get to your phone calls after the news. And Blues defenseman Colton Parayko coming up.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.